Blog Talk Radio.
Can I have his dance?
Is it all right?
Yeah, it's all right. As long as you ain't slow dancing, Junior.
Let me turn this down. This song is so indicative, so like just so Miami to me. And every time I play it, every Sunday I get lost in the jam. You understand? Literally, I see cars going by real slow. I'm at some jam somewhere in some community as a little girl, and I could just hear this song. So sorry and excuse me for being in my element, but this is Miss Latoya Bird, also known as Miss Controversy Bird, here on the I Love Down South online talk radio show. Super excited. It happens to be Martin Luther King weekend, and it's more than just a day off. We all know that. But we're here on tonight's show with a little bit of the B.O.B. community clapback, the MLK version. Now, what in the world what does that mean? So I'm getting right to it tonight. B.O.B., of course, stands for Black-Owned Business, and to me it also stands for Brown-Owned Business. But the community clapback is the fact that we actually have a rise of multicultural and minorities in business. And to me, this is the ultimate clapback. This is the ultimate position that we need to be in regards to taking our communities back. So with the MLK energy and frequency, I want you to get ready for an awesome show this evening. We have a few local down south business owners that happen to be on the line with us this evening. I'm going to be bringing them on shortly. But I do want to give you guys an update about what's been going on in the past week, since last week, and all that good stuff. So for those of you that are familiar with our community publication, goodnewsschools.com, yes, we are fighting hard to put out our January issue for you. So much has gone on. 2018 has been so good to us. So since last week, you know, we had the Save Our Sons Black Boys Day, hosted by none other than the Poise founder, Mr. Lance Williams, who was super invested in our community. So that was an amazing event. But since then, we have local community organizations as well as county organizations, or county agencies, if you will, that have put their energies and efforts into celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. and hosting several different events. I have to give a shout-out to Miss Lee at the Ghouls Resource Center, my angel, my community angel, if you will, because she does so much. And also Mr. Ed Hanna, and all that he does in regards to the MLK community festive events that have been going on for the past 37 some odd years. Oh my God. And I had the pleasure and honor to be at this year's breakfast. It was absolutely breathtaking to see our community come together and to see all the partners that have been committed to the community over the past 30-some-odd years, the different banks, the different groups and organizations and businesses and corporations. And just to see Mr. Hanna in his golden years, if you will, doing so much as an elder in our community, that was what was impressive to me. And it actually puts a little pressure on me to do better, do more, and not to make any excuses and to get things done as it relates to our community and to our advancement and so on and so forth. So this week was pretty damn cool being amongst the elders in the community and just listening to all that has been done and inspired to be a part of all that will be done. So on that note, you know, there was also a huge business fair held at Sweet Home here in the Pariah area. And it was, I need some new words. It was divine. It was divine to see all the business owners in our community, both black and brown, or those that support our communities, come together for a community showcase. It was not just a business fair. It was actually a business expo, and bringing in elements of the community, making kids feel welcome. They had the bounce houses. They had the vendors. It was really a game changer. I think this was the first year that they had the business expo in the midst of the community and not at the Burger King Corporation, which is beautiful and nice, but it was nice to see that energy and effort and collaboration come together in our backyard, literally in our community. So hats off to Mr. Edwards. I think he is the president on the board. Forgive me if I'm saying it wrong, with MDEET. They're doing amazing things in our community and have been. So I want to thank you all for all that you do in our community. So that's what happened in the last week or so. And we also had the opportunity to do a part two for our New Year's resolution solutions. Okay, we did a workshop up in Hollywood outlining and giving tools and tips and secrets dealing with finances and how people can literally change their 2018 as it pertains to their financial house and estate planning and their family finances. So we've been kind of busy this week. And I want to say networking should definitely be a secret tool that you use in 2018 to get things done. So on that note, I had an opportunity to meet PCMD, as well as ASA Inc. That's right. I met them at the MLK Expo, and it was only right that I invite them on the show this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and do something a little different, a little funky. I'm going to open up both of our guest lines. I'm going to introduce Mr. Davian Canty first of PCMD. Peace and blessings. How are you? Mr. Canty? Hold on 1 second. Mr. Canty, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Welcome to the line.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Wonderful.
We appreciate you being here. And I'm also going to open the line up for our other guests, Mr. and Mrs. Campbell of Adapt Security Services Agency. Are you all on the line?
Hey, LaToya, how you doing? Yeah, we're here.
Peace. Let me give you a little applause as well.
I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have two business owners here in the Down South area on the line. And the reason why I wanted to open up both of their lines at the same time is because I'm in celebratory mode right now. I'm all about celebrating solutions in our community, and we know that a Black-owned business is something viable to our progression and evolution from the negative state, the negative facts, the negative realities that exist in our community. So I would like to ask a question, and any of you can chime in. Make sure you state your name and a little bit about your business, and then you could go into answering the question. But what would you say that Martin Luther King would have to say about you being a Black-owned business in regards to the service that you bring to the table, in regards to how you impact the community? What do you think MLK would do if he knew about your business? Anybody can take a stab at it.
Well, I can go first. My name is Davian from the PCMD. I'm a web developer from Ghouls, and I specialize in web design, responsive apps, and computer restore. But above anything else, I like to dedicate myself to the community. So I have to make money because we all have to, you know, we got to feed ourselves. And if you I don't have any kids, but if you have kids, you got to feed your kids and take care of your life. So I guess, you know, branching into what MLK would, what would he say? I think he would be proud of business owners, but I think he would want us to do more. And I say us meaning all of us because, you know, this MLK day just passed by, and I didn't have anything planned, and I feel like I should have, you know, and I don't know anybody that – of anything, you know, there's we know that we can get to, we know we all can get together and have fun, we know that, but are we expanding on his ideas? I don't think I am, and I would like to. So I think he'd be, you know, proud in some ways, but not to say disappointed. Martin Luther King was alive today, and he saw what goes on every Martin Luther King Day for the past few years. Where is the message, you know?
That's deep. We're going to get into that part, but I love the fact that you were very transparent and you were open enough to say that you could do more, and the fact that we can always get together for a festive reason, for to celebrate and to jam and to listen to music. But what will MLK do, right? So thank you, Mr. Davian, right? I'm struggling with your name. It's so unique. Okay, Davian.
You got it.
And I'm going to hold on to a couple things that you said, but I'm going to let Mr. and Mrs. Campbell come in and kind of chime in, tell us a little bit about who they are and what they feel MLK, Martin Luther King Jr., would have to say about them being a Black-owned business.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, LaToya. My name is Donald Campbell, and I'm the CEO of Adapt Security Services Agency. We're a fairly new company, and what we do is we provide personal protection for our customers and our clients through financial services education. So we help with credit restoration, and we also help with power of attorney and living will and trust, identity protection, and several other key things that people need in today's current age of everybody getting their information stolen through the internet and hacking and getting their emails sold off by corporations, Facebook. Not to say anything bad about Facebook, but most people don't realize that social media is great. However, there's companies out there that are buying our personal information. So we have to protect ourselves against those types of things. And we also have to realize the very, very importance of credit and how good credit scores actually end up saving us money, where we can reduce our going out costs that we have in our homes for car payments, house payments, insurance payments, credit card payments, lower interest rates, and things like that. Now, to answer the question, I think that Martin would take my idea for financial services education and say, let's scale this to a national level, because our community is suffering because we have such low credit scores. And it's not only the black community, but it's all communities. However, because of consumerism and corporate America selling us on a secondly basis from social media to commercials, a lot of people are just getting sucked right into, I need more, I have to buy more, without answering the real question of, is it a thing that you need or is it something that you want? And because of that, corporations are making billions of dollars off of us, and then those corporations are getting hacked, like when Target got hacked, and mm-hmm. Macy's, and as a matter of fact, one of the major credit bureaus got hacked. Equifax got hacked. Hospitals get hacked. And your information is sold off. Your information is stolen. Your personal information, your social security numbers, your driver's license numbers, your telephone number, your address, your email, all these things that people can loop together and create a new identity and purchase things in your name. And we have absolutely no clue of what's happening. So we need to protect ourselves. And first we have to start off in our community so we can realize how important it is. It's an amazing thing for us to listen to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. But the truth of the matter is that when Martin was assassinated, that it took away our driving vehicle. I mean, he was the head of that ship. It took away our driving vehicle. If Martin was alive today, would Martin be a billionaire? Martin was in place, and he was giving presidential advice. He was giving advice to the president of the United States. So he was counsel. So you're talking about a very, very brilliant man, a brilliant man that constructed, him and his team and the NAACP constructed the first million person march, the beginnings of the first million person march with the March on Selma to Washington. So today, if Martin was alive, would he be a billionaire? Would he be in a position that he could help a person like me? Or
absolutely.
Would the community be suffering so much that they couldn't afford the services that Martin and his company could give? That's the question. And that's the reason why we need to have better credit, because there's so many entrepreneurs out there that want to start businesses that can't get the capital because they can't get a loan. They can't buy a house because their credit is bad, so therefore they can't look at the house and say, well, I'm going to take some equity out of the house so my business can survive. So we're talking about we have a community of renters. And if you rent, you don't own. So we have a community of renters who fall into a spiraling circle of going in and out of the payday check advance stores. I call it payday advance stores instant baller store, because you can go in there, you can get $500 right now, cash money in your hand. You got $500, now you go buy a bunch of stuff. You can go buy some bling and things like that. You're an instant baller. Go to the club and they say put your hands in the air. If you got $100 in your pocket, you feel like a baller.
It's sad but true. Donald, you've said so much, and my mind is racing. which are responses. So for me, I know Martin Luther King Jr., he did talk about a lot of nonviolent tactics, and dealing with our socioeconomic status was one of his focuses. So if he was around today, I definitely think that this is weird for me because I still feel like he wouldn't have lasted long because they would have been coming for him because of the solutions that he would have been, you know, putting on the table. So just like Marcus Garvey and all of those that understand us having power, financial power, financial literacy and evolving financially is a part of the solution. That is what we need to do today. And that's why I think people, you know, talk about black-owned businesses so that we can know our worth and our power. Right now we're powerless because we don't have the funds to do certain things. But if we get empowered in that way, in that nonviolent way, so to speak, it is definitely a military tactic in regards to surviving and protecting who we are, our culture, us as a group, and us as minorities and moving forward. So I know that Martin Luther, I keep saying that because of the day. I know Martin Luther King Jr. would be in agreement with you all as business owners in our community. And I also think that he would charge us just like Davian said, he would charge us to do more. And yes, we don't own anything, so we do need to get our ownership up. We do need to change our curriculum. We need to have our own schools because we need to change the educational focus to leadership and advancement versus mere survival and what's going on. Yeah. And that's my personal opinion when it comes to education, but I think MLK would definitely be on a national level. He would chime in with the brother who owns WeBuyBlack.com. I can't think of his name right now, but he gets it. He gets that we need to support our own, and I think back then it was very easy and it was expected to support businesses in your communities because you had everything you needed in your community. You had your pharmacists that looked just like you. You had your own community. And then, you know, desegregation brought certain elements that separated us as a unit, I feel. And it took away some of our togetherness and it took away some of the important aspects of being together and working with each other. So that's why I'm so happy to celebrate you all as business owners in our community because I get the opportunity to support you all and to refer business to you and to do business with you. And I think that's exactly what Martin Luther King would want us to do, which is support each other and continue to expand and to continue to trailblaze. So in regards to the clapback of what's going on in the community, because we all heard what Trump said about a certain country, and that happens to be one of the countries that I think us as black people, I think we should be pouring in an astronomical amount of support to this country, and I'm talking about Haiti. That should be our country. That should be where we go. That should be us. That should be all us because of the historical contributions that the leaders and the fierce leaders that have come out of Haiti and the Rise Up and so on and so forth. And we all know the history in regards to taking a stand. You understand? So I feel like it's only right. We should show that that's not a shithole of a country, not at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not at all.
Absolutely, I agree.
Not at all.
I mean, you know, I mean the Haitian people fought for their independence out of slavery for 200 years,
mm-hmm.
and you know they won, you know, and I mean it's absolutely incredible that these systems that are put in place are very intricate systems. These systems of oppression that are put in place are very intricate systems, and they're meant to be the laced fabric that builds everything else. So it's damn near impossible to eradicate racism. I mean, racism is an idea, and it's damn near impossible to eradicate an idea of someone feeling superior over someone else just because of the color of their skin or their demographics, where their geography is. You know, so we're always going to have to deal with racism, just like we're always going to have to deal with bigotry, sexism, and ageism, and all these classifications. We're always going to have to deal with some of that. But here's the thing. The President of the United States is supposed to be the highest office in the country. And the seat of the President of the United States is supposed to be one of the most respected, sought-after seats in the international community, because we're the ones who help broker deals amongst other countries. So when you have a president like the one that we have now, who thinks in that racist tone, who believes in those stereotypes, and only sees the opportunity to advance his own brand, his own company, above the needs of his American people, then you have something. And you know, I mean, you got a guy that is the perfect storm, and he's in the seat of origin, and the international community is trying to work with him. They're trying to figure out how to work with him. And from what I read, they say, okay, well, if you want anything out of Trump, you have to compliment him. That's first and foremost. You got to give him compliments and basically stroke his ego, and then he'll be open to your ideas. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know.
What would MLK do about those comments?
MLK wouldn't be here today, because if he was, he would have been the president before Obama. And then he would have got reelected for a second term, and it would change the whole fabric of everything. It wouldn't work that way. They would have shot him down like they shot down Malcolm X. He would have been in the, it was a lot, anyone who would have been in line, they make sure. And it's not just the black thing, because they also did it to John F. Kennedy. And when Robert Kennedy was running, they did it to him. They don't discriminate against color. It's a power deal. He just happened to be a great man with color. So if he was alive,
but what
we,
if he
have,
was here today?
We would have we would have more than black. We would have Obama would not have been the first black president. He probably would have been a president, but he wouldn't have been the first black, because Martin Luther King would have been president. I think,
right?
You know, if he had lived till, you know, let's say, who knows how long, because everyone supported him and the government knew that. That's why they had to take him down. They don't.
My question is, what would he do now, like right now, 2018, hearing those comments?
He would be, I can't imagine, I'd have to see him in office. But I don't see him getting in. I don't see President Trump getting into office if Martin Luther King was around, because he would have had more political control.
I feel what you're saying.
It's hard to imagine. Even I don't think Trump would even, because the you know, it's almost as if Martin Luther King would have had to pass away in order for Trump to get into office, because if he would live, it would, you know, because the only reason I believe that Trump is in office is because Obama was in office, and it's a ripple effect. You got Republican, Democrat. It's not white, black, but it's somewhat related. And I believe Trump is a result of Obama being president, and Republicans want control. He's a representative, but I don't think he's that in control. There's a Republican Party that they're all hiding behind Trump, and we don't know who their names are, but it's bigger than Trump.
It's right,
so
right.
Many,
but I respect your views. I respect your views completely, but you ain't addressing the question at hand, which is what would be the community clapback from Martin Luther King if he was here today?
I couldn't speak on Martin Luther King or what he would say because he's so profound. You know, he studied Gandhi himself, who was so peaceful, and he's so nonviolent.
Okay.
And his connection with God.
Let me go ahead and get on this. Hold on. Let me get on this.
I gotta take a bite.
Let me take a bite.
Go ahead.
So the bite is, I feel that with all that has happened in our community, on a political note, on a racial note, so on and so forth, I feel that MLK, Martin Luther King, actually, would be very proud of the different organizations and grassroots organizations that are doing things on a community note, on a community level, to bring forth awareness and togetherness and provide solutions in the community. One, two, I feel that in regards to his background of studying Gandhi and so on and so forth, this nonviolent type of thing, when you
mm-hmm.
start to deal with somebody's money and economics, things will turn
exactly.
violent very quickly. So we,
mm-hmm.
because I felt that he would definitely lead us down the economic pathway to retaliating, it would always have to, it would lead to violence for sure. Because it will be such a powerful impact. Look how many trillions of dollars our community brings to the table on a national level. And if Martin Luther King was here
like
today, I think
$1.4 trillion.
Really?
$1.4 trillion.
So imagine if he just at the post of one tweet, at the hand of one post or on Facebook or Snapchat and say, hey y'all, we going to Haiti. We already have the boats. We already have this.
I think we got to remember when we talk about this thing, you know, in today, Martin would be, you know, 86 years old if he was still alive today. He would be 86 years old, you know, so it wouldn't be that same Martin that we saw in the 60s.
I think he would be better and seasoned and have more of a I feel like him and some other religious leaders, and I say religious leaders because of the power that they have.
Would Martin be running his social media? He'd be 86 years old, so the computer age.
You saying 86 like that's old? That ain't old.
Okay, but it's not old. But when you think about would Martin be tweeting? Somebody would probably be doing that for him, because
guys, I think we're missing the point, though. I think what I'm trying to say is he would have even more tenacity and even more power today than he did.
You think he'd get corrupted with the power? He was so close to Gandhi. I don't think he'd be corrupted with the power.
Do you think that Martin would be the head of the DNC?
DNC,
I see him going back to Africa, because Africa is starting a new federation of Africa. He'll go back to his roots, because I don't think if right now, if he was still alive in the Federation of Africa, the United States of Africa, USA, that's being started, and they're trying to start it right now, they're starting with the Federation of East Africa. I could see him going home, because Malcolm would have ended up going home too, because the militant action, we don't have it in us to take over because we can't take military action. We can't. We just don't have it in our hearts, which is a good thing. We're not going to do that.
Point.
We could.
That's my point. If that's my point. Today, would we see Martin being the one who rallies together the Democratic National Convention? Will we see Martin as the head of the Democratic Party? Right now, Obama
Black Panthers.
Right now, Obama and Pelosi are the head of the Democratic Party. And when we talk about clapback, about what Trump said, the clapback is going to be the votes, how the Congress, House, Senate votes. So that's the real clapback that we're talking about. They introduced censorship. They introduced censorship, a conversation of censoring Trump, not allowing him to tweet, not allowing him to say these inflammatory things that he says, because it's so damaging to us and the international community. As a matter of fact, we have international heads of state that have flat out said on the news that Trump is racist, and this is the proof. This last statement is the proof. You know, so would we see Martin as the one who could rally together the Democrats? Because right now they're not. We've got 58 senators, Democratic senators, in the minority, and Al Green proposed his articles of impeachment for Trump, which were very creditworthy, and the articles of impeachment were for actual crimes that he's still committing today. Like the Emoluments Clause, the actual crimes that he's still committing today. So, but the Democrats, they said, well, I don't know if I want to get behind this. It doesn't seem like, okay, so, but the point is, if you want the vote, you got to work both sides. Would Martin Luther King be the one that can get both sides of the aisle to vote? And that's the true clapback.
Right. So for me, the clapback is very necessary. And I think that in regards to us being business owners or being active in our community, I think Dr. Martin Luther King will also charge us, like Davian was saying earlier, into doing more. So this conversation is all leading back to a solution path where we are the ones being held accountable and what it is that we do as business owners and what it is that we do as members of the community. So on that note, what commitment – I'm getting a feedback from somebody. I'm not sure who it is. You may have to take me off speaker. But what are we going to do? So, like, what are we going to do in moving forward as business owners to contribute to solutions in our community? And, Davian, if you can go first.
Yes, I would like to say, which is I do research on this, you know, because I've been in business for over 2 years now, and every day I look to try to see how I can bridge the gap between business and helping the community, because I want to help the community just as much as I want to do good business. So I came across a term called CSR, which stands for Community Social Responsibility. And it's a term, but it's a concept, meaning as business owners or even as an individual, you have what it sounds like, community social responsibility. You have some type of responsibility to your community to help in some kind of way. So I try to think of the ways I can help, and I'm a web developer. I'm good at math. And so that's what I do. That's my thing. I think if all the businesses took that same approach, and individuals, and you help, let's say you start with helping your neighbor regardless of color, because at this point we are minorities. Black people are minorities because we our numbers are, as time goes on, we're definitely minorities. Hispanics are more majority than we are. They outnumber us a lot. So we should help our neighbor regardless of the language, the color of the skin, because that's really what Martin Luther King believed. He was, when he came into it, he talked about colored people, but equality really for all, because that's the same approach that Gandhi took. So CSR, and I feel like if we all did, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what CSR means, because we all can come up with our version of, you know, if you take something of what you're responsible side, and I see a can that somebody threw down, I want to pick it up and throw it in the trash. If I see someone who needs help, I try to help if I can, because I hope people will do the same for me when I need help, because there's been times where I've needed help. And I want to see everybody do, because if we work for the community we work for, we want to make it a better place to live and work. That way it's better for all of us. That way we all make more money, and the world is a better place. So I think CSR is a good way to start.
Right. Okay. I appreciate that contribution. And Mr. Donald?
Well, I know that financial education, I think that the way that we grow is through financial education. I think that we need to get financial education, financial literacy in school as a curriculum. And I think it needs to start at the middle school level and expound to the high school levels. People can go to college and get a business degree and start to educate themselves on the financial sector. But when I was in high school, we had a class, economics, and you can only take that class when you were in the 12th grade. And you can only get one semester of that class. I mean, it's crazy. I went to school in Detroit, Michigan. I'm a product of Detroit public school system. And I remember that was my favorite class. Out of the 12 years I went to school, that was my most favorite class, because it was teaching me the information that I thought was most germane to what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And it helped build an entrepreneurial spirit for me. I remember my teacher told us, when you go off to college, credit matters. Don't sign up for any credit cards. Don't sign up for any of those credit card deals that come to the mail. Don't go to campus signing up for any of those cards. Just walk by right by those people, because you don't have any money to pay it back. You don't have a job, you don't have money to pay it back. Because you don't have a job, you don't have money to pay it back, and you're inexperienced, more than likely you're going to get the card, you're going to go out and buy some stuff, and you're not going to pay it back, and then it's going to mess your credit up, and you're going to be looking down the line years later like, oh, now I need it. I need credit. I want to buy a house, and I can't because I've got these credit card bills that I've had since I was, and that stuck with me. That stuck with me. And that was a side note that he told us. It wasn't part of the curriculum. That was just a side note, because we had asked a question and said, hey, I'm 18 years old now, and Gillette is sending me razors in the mail. Schick is sending me razors in the mail. How do they know about me? That was the question. And he said, listen, they're targeting you guys. That's what they do. They're multi-billion-dollar corporations that's targeting you guys, because that's who they're trying to sell to, and that's how they stay alive. And they want to give you something free that looks cool so you can buy more. And if you do that, then here come the credit card companies. So I think we need financial literacy in school, so we can teach what credit is, how the credit bureaus work. We can teach what responsible spending is. We can teach what budgeting is. We can teach these things to our youth, and so they can have these lessons as they go off to become productive members of society. I think it needs to be in schools. I think it needs to be as in the business community as far as we teach in adults. That's what my company does. I think there's far too many of us that's out there that just don't know the information. And people perish for a lack of knowledge. No, it's no small coincidence that people end up in a spiraling cycle of debt. They get a big paycheck from tax returns and they go and spend that because they need a car. Because all year long they've gone without reliable transportation to get back and forth to work. So they get fired from a couple jobs. And so now they get a big paycheck and they go buy a car. But they can't go to the standard lot because they can't get a loan. Mm-hmm. Or those interest rates are incredibly high. So they go to the buy here, pay here place where they don't do any credit checks. However, you're going to pay every week. You're going to end up paying five. Yeah, it's absolutely astonishing. You're going to end up paying $500-$700 for a Ford. I mean, that kind of money, yeah, you could have a Mercedes, you could have a Rolls Royce.
They don't want you to have a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, I mean, you could have you could right now you could buy a 2004 Rolls Royce and then $600 to $700 a month in payment, you know, and it's a nice car, you know, but people are buying that and spending that on PT Cruisers.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a guy drive off in a PT Cruiser and he was so happy because he got a car. You know, and his payment's like $500 a month, but he doesn't realize it. So then that tax return gets spent. That car is not a good car, so he has to spend money fixing it up in the shop. And then 6 months down the road, they're going to come and repossess that car. And the buy here, pay here place is going to slap the same down payment on that window and sell that car all over again.
It's a cycle. We don't own anything, really. Even we own our businesses, we do. We own our businesses, but aside from that, the values and the assets that you have, you can't take them with you when you pass. So,
well, did you know that in order for Black America to compete on the same level with the rest of America, we would have to have 1.1 million more black-owned businesses start and flourish. The majority of our black-owned businesses,
but that's something we can do. There's enough of us.
Yeah, there's enough of us, but the majority of our businesses that we have now are only making $75,000 to $80,000 in revenue a year. We're talking about
together.
We are competing against multinational corporations for the same products. So when you have a friend that opens a salon, a beauty salon, that's great. But guess who she's in competition with? She's in competition with Vidal Sassoon. She's in competition with Kim Kimball. She's in competition with
Martin Luther King. Did his nonviolent boycotts to go against that way, because he knew the money is where it's at, and that's why we got more rights, because it messes with the money flow. So you can mess with the money flow to the point where everybody will start looking at black people saying, hey, what's wrong? What's going on if you mess with the money? But
we don't have too much control over
the money flow.
Well,
if we made a commitment to spend money in our communities, that is what
that's the only clapback
that is a real solution. So on that note, I also want to say that we are in a position to compete because of our dollars with financial education,
yes,
with awareness, with consciousness, with elevated thinking and living, we can definitely do it, because our trillions of dollars are being studied so they can be sucked out of our community. But if
right.
we did our own clap back and said, you know what, I'm going to, even if it's a small commitment, that I'm going to, instead of going to Fresco y Mosque or whatever it's called, Winn-Dixie, I'm going to go to, you know, the black-owned organic farming in Redlands, Cool Runnings. Instead of this, I'm going to spend my money here.
Home ownership. It starts out
not
with
only,
home ownership.
Hold on. Not only, yes, home ownership. Yes, home ownership. Yes, home ownership. And I'm saying that because this is true. But also, we need to have insurance. The wealth
absolutely
in the Jewish community and in our counterpart communities, the wealth can be traced back to life insurance. So when you leave
right.
A legacy is you leaving some dollars and some structure in place for the dollars to keep being created, period, hands down.
Right.
And
right.
so we have
we
to
haven't
bring
had enough
to the,
time to
the
do
conversation.
That. We got to start now.
Yeah, we do. We have to, right now is the time. So that's what I'm charging us as business owners, us as community members, is to make sure that we're in a position, one, to own something, and you can own a policy. When you own a life insurance policy, that is considered an asset. When you're writing down your net worth, they ask you how much life insurance do you have. When I figured that out and realized that, I was like, wow, I don't have nothing but a car that I owe money on that's not really even mine anyway. And then
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I have $250,000 in life insurance. Boom, that's my value. That's the only thing that I own. I don't own a home yet, but guess what? I can use my insurance policy to get a home. Oops, it's so much that we don't
right.
know. It's so much that is available. So that's what I'm going to make a commitment to doing, is one, being a product, being proof of improving by utilizing the things that I'm learning for myself first, because I feel like a lot of community activists or people in the community that are helping the community are broke down, broke, busted, and disgusted. I need that to change. I need you to be a product of your conversation, a product of your service, a product of your whatever it is that you're promoting. So that's the commitment that I'm going to make, and I'm also going to make a commitment to find 5, 10, 15, 20 people to make sure that they do the same thing, to make sure that they elevate. And I'm going to use the platforms that I have, the radio show, the magazine, the classroom, whatever it is, to do just that. And I'm going to be looking for business owners like Davey and Canty and Mr. and Mrs. Campbell to partner with.
That's excellent.
Show.
I love
both of you have about 30 seconds to give your contact information, your social media, where we can find you, and also throw in there the type of the best way the community can use your services. So about a minute, 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay, let me go first really quickly. My name is Davian Canty again. My business is the PCMD Miami. You can go to my website, pcmdmiami.com, and all my contact info is there. I specialize in anything tech-related, and I am here to help the community. So please call me. I'm ready to help.
Again, that's Adept Security Services Agency Incorporated, or I abbreviate it ASSA, ASA Inc. My website is ASSAFES.com, ASAFES.com, and our 1-800 number is 1-800-790-9450. If anyone has any inquiries or knows someone that needs credit restoration or power of attorney, living will and trust. I mean, that's another major thing that a large
mm-hmm.
part of our community doesn't have, is a living will and a trust and power of attorney over their health care and their finances and anything property
mm-hmm.
that they own. We really need to promote that, because that's how we transfer our wealth. You can go on
mm-hmm.
Instagram and find me at obese313. That's OBEASE 313.
Thank you. Can you give me the website one more time? I'm going to add it to the show description.
My website is ASSAFES Damian.com.
Okay, and also Damian's website is also there for those of you that are chiming in. Hold on 1 second. Let me make sure I do it right, because I want it to be able for anybody that comes to listen to the archive show, they can just check out the show description and click on your link. So I'm updating that for you right now, Mr. Campbell. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I had a great time with the show.
Oh, thank you. I had a wonderful time listening to you all and just vibing off of you guys' energy. I thank you so much for being on the show. I know as business owners, it does really take a locking of the arms with others who have similar goals in our community to make some change really happen. And Mr. Campbell, I definitely want to talk to you more, because the world of finances is so multifaceted, and our community needs to learn some of the secrets and tools that our other community counterparts have been using for years.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Canty, I definitely want to do whatever I can to help support you, and I hope to see both of you get me sometime.
Same here. Thank you very much. Bless everyone for listening. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And as I got two more minutes to spare. And this is one I always that's too long about now.
Say that one more time. You cut out a little bit.
What is it that you love about down south?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was thinking the same thing. No weather. That's the first thing I was thinking.
No weather, man. Are you kidding me, man? My people up there in Detroit, in Chicago, in New York,
right,
they
good,
freezing.
Right?
They freezing, man.
Thank
I'm
you.
Down
oh my
basketball
God.
Shorts and flip flops, man. You kidding me? I love the weather,
thank
man.
You.
I'm trying to get my bears to move down here, man. It's crazy.
Okay,
I mean,
so
you know,
it's the weather. It's
hurricanes
the weather for
are,
you.
Yeah, yeah. The weather. Yeah. The weather for me, and yeah, it's. I mean, you know, it's beach season almost. You know, 365 days around here. You know, so you
yeah.
drive up to South Beach, and it feels nice, man. You got a nice breeze, or you can go get a nice mojito. I mean, they serve good drink. They make good drinks down here, too.
This is a spot for
yeah.
tourists to come around the world, especially here in Miami.
Right.
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 Right, absolutely. I like the evolution that I see going on in the city.
Hello? You still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I think, okay, yeah, I was saying that I love so much how our community is evolving from the Black Latina community to the millennials making connections with Generation X and the baby boomers, the health, the elevated health that's going on in our city. There's so much happening, but all I need is a cup of conch salad without the conch, because y'all know I don't eat seafood right now. But
right.
I just love, I love the cars, I love the music, I love the gold teeth and the dreads, because I'm used to that.
I do too. I do too.
How
you
long
know,
you been
I love
vegan?
The Haitians. About 4 years. About four
wow.
years now.
So I mean,
no,
are
but
you like
I'm
raw
off
vegan?
And on. Nah, I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a whatever I wanna be type of
okay,
person.
So
I call myself a healthitarian.
Sometimes you do eat meat. Sometimes you do eat
no.
meat.
No. But sometimes I might dairy might get in there.
Okay, like milk or like cheese.
Yeah, cheese might get in there every once in a while when I'm like being totally ignorant. Like meaning purposefully
well,
eating it.
No,
but
I'm
that's
gonna
just
tell
me personally.
You, there's nothing there's no substitute for you know, dairy cheese. There's no substitute. I've had the vegan cheese You know, I've had.
Oh, you like you love cheese?
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's not the same. It is not.
I mean, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no substitute for cheese.
Hello.
Yeah,
I can do it.
Oh, y'all did? Okay, I
wasn't sure.
My
bad. Can you live without cheese? That's a tough one.
Yeah, we can. We can live without other animal secretions. Yes, we can. We can live without other animal boogers and secretions and disgusting waste products.
But cheese of all types, you like to take that away? Cheese?
Listen,
and I know
when
I admit it is not the best thing for you.
It depends. If you're eating to live, you're not thinking about a childhood habit or the way that you were brought up or your cultural food palate.
That's true.
You're thinking about what do I need to do
something
to rid my body
enzymes.
Of mucus and disease.
That's true.
I'm sorry?
That's
something
true.
About those enzymes tastes good, but cheese, I don't know what it is, but the way the enzymes break down.
By the way, I think Martin Luther King, I think he would have been a vegan, for
I
sure.
I think he would be vegetarian.
It's hard to be vegan because I was borderline vegan. It's difficult because with the products that America has, it's difficult. It really is.
Is it
only as
to
difficult
be a vegan?
As you make it. It's just as difficult as you make it. It's just like somebody.
I don't think so.
Is it possible to be a vegan?
What does that mean?
Okay, so my brother, shout out to Dev. My brother told me, he said, listen, man, I'm a vegan on a weekday, Monday through Friday. I eat vegan. But when the weekend comes, I got to have me some meat. So he calls me a vegan.
I feel like you could be whatever you want to be. For sure. That's why I said I'm not really a vegan. Yesterday, I had all raw food. Today, I'm thinking about having some vegan mac and cheese with caramelized onions and sautéed spinach and Brussels sprouts. Like, it depends.
How do you do it without the cheese, though?
There's vegan cheese.
Yeah, there's vegan cheese. And some of it is good. Like the kale.
How
is the
cheese?
It, the KO,
so how about this?
Company
how about this?
Good.
How about I invite all of you all to Uber Wings and we try out their vegan menu? What y'all doing right now?
Oh, that'll
sounds
be
wonderful.
I'm headed over there right now. Shout out to Uber Wings. We having a I Love Down South after party at another black owned business. Talking about community clap back. Go support a black owned business. 365 days. Do what you do. Love Down South. Support businesses in your community. Make sure you're the best business in your community. And just do it. This is Miss Latoya Bird. We got to go. Again, this is ilovedownsouth.com. I appreciate the listeners, the supporters, and, of course, our special guests. Thank you all so much for being on the show. I see you here same time, same place next week. Peace.
All right, thank you.